Hey, what up, bros? This is the Jock and Nerd podcast, and we have a guy from A Place to Hang Your Cape on the show. He fucking hates DC, and he's super British.
It's the Jock and Nerd podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Jock and Nerd!
Hey, what's up, listener? Thanks for hanging out with us. This is episode 32 of the Jock and Nerd podcast. My name is Imran.
And my name is Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he is the nerd.
And like the jock said, we have a guest, a writer from the website, A Place to Hang Your Cape, that you may have heard us talk about. If you're a new listener, we'll tell you what it's all about. Mr. Scott Meridew.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi, Scott. How's it going? Scott is from way in the future. Are you not? With those futuristic goggles you're wearing?
Yes, clearly, as all people in the future wear 3D glasses, red and blue stuff, you know? It's the style of the time. I'm sure in 10 years it'll be gone.
That's a good, maybe, you know, yeah, that's a good investment tip. I'm going to buy stock in 3D glasses because that is the future. Scott, thanks for joining us. Scott is a writer at A Place to Hang Your Cape, which you can find at ap2hyc.com. And Scott, where are you calling from right now?
I'm calling for the lovely city of Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, you're Holy in fuck. Edinburgh. We get downloads from Edinburgh
yeah.
on the map. I've been to Edinburgh.
Oh, wait, so are you Scottish then?
I am. I'm mainly English. I'm partly Scottish. I grew up in England, a little bit in Scotland, but now I'm just here for university.
Oh, that's cool. Where are you? Where did you grow up?
Oh, all over the place, right. Mainly the south of England, but as I said, a bit in Scotland. I had a turbulent childhood. Oh. We won't get into it.
Oh, boy. Well, that may explain why he is the man that hates DC. Scott is known as the man that hates DC. Listener, if you did heard our interview with David Malofsky, episode 19.
He's a poser British guy.
So finally we got a guy from the UK who actually has a proper accent. David's an expat, of course, right. Living in London, and he runs A Place to Hang Your Cape, and he mentioned you, Scott. I was there. He was like, you got to talk to Scott. He hates DC. And instantly I was like,
oh, shit. Geek mode.
All those things
all
I
at
want.
The same time.
Yeah, it was very confusing, but I liked it.
It's like when you throw up and have to shit at the same time.
Yeah, you know you have problems, and you probably should go to the hospital.
Scott, has that ever happened to you?
No, I'm in complete control of all my bodily functions. I can't say the same for you.
No, well, yeah, he's already advanced. Yeah. He's ahead of us
there. He's ahead of us, yeah.
Scott,
my
watch.
Body is a
say that again.
My body is a temple.
There you go.
He's like Sting. It's all like, yeah, right?
His body is a wonderland. What are we talking about?
I have no idea. Scott, why don't you tell us and the listener, like, you know, we'd love to meet random people on the show that we've never met before, and this is no different. So why don't you tell the listener a little bit about yourself, sir?
Well, I'm Scott. I'm in Britain, and I hate DC. That's about the sum total of me.
That's pretty good. That's that does it. You have and you write for A Place to Hang Your Cape, correct? How did you how'd you hook up with David?
Oh, it was a lovely story. I was living at home with my parents, and I was very depressed because I had no prospects, either in writing or in the job or in life in general. And I was trolling the internet, finding any sort of work, anything, writing, part-time work. I'll take it. And I found this ad for A Place to Hang Your Cape. David Malofsky had put an ad saying, you know, hey, we're calling all writers. Do you want to write for us? And I was like, yes, I do. Give me a chance to talk about the things I love and to bitch and moan. Yes, this is my ideal situation. So I replied and, you know, and I basically started writing. And that was September 2013. Yeah. So it's been over a year now.
Yeah, and you sent us a list of articles that you have written on the site. I'll put a lot of these in the show notes for this episode, which you'll be able to find at jockandnerd.com/32.
32, correct. Mm.
Thank you very much.
Have you did you get a chance to check any of these articles out, Anthony?
You do a lot of rankings there, Scott.
I mainly do list articles. Yeah, yeah. That's my job now.
Is that your thing?
It is my thing. Yes, we hit on pretty early. I did a few like reviews and stuff, non-list articles, which I still do occasionally, but rarely. But David, who's very good at recognizing what people are good at, realized that that was what I was good at. And so I mainly do that now. I am the list hero, if you will, of the place to hang your cape.
That's right. That's what it's
I feel like we're talking to Michael Caine, but like a young Michael Caine.
Like, I do a Michael Caine impression, but I can't. So, you were as precious to me as you were your mother or father. That was more short.
Oh, shit.
It's just people from Britain have such a great, distinguished voice that anything you say is just great. Like,
I can listen to it forever.
I can listen to you talk, and you can talk about bullshit, and it just sounds very distinguished, and then you're going to have some tea.
Let me tell you about the 10 best ways to compost vegetables.
Oh, please, go. You got me. Let me tell you. This could be like an NPR show.
Allow me to spin you a tale, sir.
So I read the article that you your article called "Is Marvel Better Than DC?" Because we also did a show, Marvel versus DC. Yeah. And you should go check that out. We just compared all the properties, all the things. And I'm not going to give away the ending because I want you to listen to it.
Oh, I want to experience it in its fullness.
Yes, but really good article, and you make a lot of good points. Where should we begin?
Wherever you feel is best.
When did you start hating DC, Scott? Yeah. Let's start there.
Oh, from a young age when Batman murdered my parents.
Oh, shit.
Well, that would do it. Yeah, I would. That would leave a bitter taste in my mouth.
He has a thing with parents. He saw me. He was happy. He was jealous. We won't go into it. No, it started because I mainly liked Marvel. I started reading Spider-Man and things like that from kind of a young age, and I really identified with it.
Yep.
And I sort of dipped my toe into the DC waters, but I never really, you know, found it at all appealing. And then years later, when I matured and I started to appreciate Marvel a lot more, I thought, okay, I'll check out DC now. Maybe I could appreciate that a lot more. And I did not. It was terrible. It was all terrible.
None of it? Nothing?
Okay, well, I kind of like Green Lantern. That's the one thing I'll cop to, okay?
You know, it's funny. We've been promising the listener that we're going to a lot of our news and a lot of our shows have been heavy Marvel.
We're kind of like really Marvel fanboys, too.
Yeah, but so we've been promising the listener to do a DC, like a heavy DC show. And the first heavy DC show, we have the guy that hates DC.
Well, I mean, on the DC show. And, you know, and I kind of understand, like, this just, it kind of has to be addressed. Because even when I started reading comic books, I was given... My introduction was my cousins were older, and they had literally given me two big garbage bags full of old, just loose books. And this was like my introduction to comic books. Like, I literally grew up reading Archie. I think I learned how to read with Archie comic books, because in there was a bunch of Archie DC Digest, Little Richie, stuff like that. There was a lot of early Spider-Man, and there was a lot of early Superman Action Comics and Batman Detective Comics, like from the 70s through the late 70s. So that was my introduction to this stuff, and there was already a clear like difference. Like DC, just their universe always felt kind of weird and like inaccessible.
It's weird because the cities are made up.
Ah, that's true.
With the cities, that's actually the one of the few things about DC I kind of like.
What?
I prefer it with Marvel and the real cities because that makes it feel more grounded.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It seems a bit with DC and the Gotham City and Central City. It seems a bit creative, and I always appreciate creativity. But that's the only thing that DC have really been creative about, except for what way can we now muck up our own character? What new and spectacular way can we ruin them?
What's weird about the cities is they have. This all is considered to be in the United States. So they'll have Metropolis, Gotham, Central City or whatever. But then they'll also refer to real cities in the city, in the U.S. Like Nightwing is in Chicago.
Yeah, that's true.
And there is a New York and there is a D.C. So then where the hell is everything?
Well, and then like geographically, I feel like the cities move around based on convenience. Although I got to agree with Scott. Like at least they took that step to make up
I guess
you know,
if you're jumping
universe.
In a new world, you'd want – new cities, I guess, but
although they do need to name them a bit better because I mean, Coast City, so it's by the coast. I mean, that's kind of obvious, guys.
Yeah,
at least Bloodhaven, that sounds a little interesting, if not a bit cheesy.
What part of the country do you think Central City is in? Probably near the middle,
maybe the north. Who knows?
So, Scott, are you familiar with all of the like the DC movies, DC TV shows? Do you watch it all across the board? Do you hate watch all of this stuff?
I don't know about the TV shows. Actually, you know, with the movies, I do hate watch because I need to know just how bad they are so I can talk about them and rant about them.
Absolutely.
But the television shows, they're good now. It's so annoying.
Listen to that disdain in his voice. You could just hear it. But come on, yeah, you got to give it up to those shows. It's one of –
because we do a week – we started this show doing a weekly – TV reviews.
Episodic reviews, week by week.
We were doing mostly DC because that was mostly what was out. So we had Gotham, Arrow, Flash, and I kind of want to get your opinion on those shows.
You shall have them, sir. Right, so Arrow. At first, I was really resistant to it because it felt like I wasn't that familiar with Green Arrow, but I knew that he was, you know, had a bow and arrow, and he was kind of like a bit of a wisecracker.
Yep.
And now he's actually kind of dark and gritty. And this was yet another example of something that DC does all the time, which is they try to make all of their characters Batman. Stop it.
Shit.
Just stop it. Not everyone is Batman. You can have some dark and gritty characters, but stop making them all dark and gritty. But then I started watching the show, and I sort of have an appreciation for it now. It takes itself the right amount of seriously,
yeah.
And it suckered me in.
Yeah.
I feel dirty liking it.
It is a good – I think it's a –
it's a good Batman show.
I was going to say it's a good Batman
show. That's all it is. It's an amazing – that should have been the Batman goddamn
TV
show.
You just changed Bruce Wayne to Oliver Queen.
Yeah, and you can just – in your head, you just switch him out. And you're like, what a fucking great Batman show.
I really prefer the supporting cast, actually.
Sure, yeah. And that, you know, that show didn't get really good until you had a team, until Team Arrow – was put together.
Yeah. Who are your favorites in that supporting cast, Scott?
You know, I like Felicity just because, you know, geek, nerd,
yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
You know, keep it strong. Keep brethren, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she's the ultimate geek girl's dream.
All right, so you like Arrow. You've grown to like Arrow because he's Batman-esque. So what about The Flash?
The Flash... I feel like I'm betraying my identity as the guy who hates DC.
Oh no, we'll get back to the hate after.
Well, no, the whole thing was to expose you as a phony.
Oh shit!
You ruined my reputation.
Oh boy!
But what do you think of The Flash? You're gonna say Flash, you like it, you son of a bitch.
I liked it from the start, yeah. And I wanted to hate
it's okay.
it.
It's okay.
It's gonna be cheesy. Ooh, it's gonna be silly. But it got exactly the right tone.
Yep.
Again, takes itself just the right amount of serious and knows what to do with itself and knows what to do with its characters and its stories, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also be serious and there can be real consequences. And damn it, why can't you just make a bad show?
Okay, let's transition to a bad show in my opinion. Gotham, what do you think of Gotham?
Good one.
Gotham, I have mixed feelings about. I think there's potential for a good show. But the problem is, I worry that it's going to do the same thing which Smallville did, aside from going on way too long. And just, I want to see, you know, I don't really want to see Batman because I don't like him. But if I was going to like Batman, I would want to see him be Batman. I don't really want to see him as a little kid.
Right.
That's what they did with Anakin Skywalker. Yeah. And that did not go over so well.
Nope.
Wait, you don't like Batman?
Yeah, let's get back to that. Yeah. Because out of all of DC's characters, they have the Batman. It's iconic. Everyone. What is your – let's follow this trail of hate for the Batman. Yeah. I understand, like, it made everybody want to be Batman and be gritty. And I agree, like, enough with the Frank Miller goddamn Batman stories. Let's go try something else. I've seen it. I've had it. There's other – versions of Batman that will also work.
Listener, if you could see Scott right now, he is just moving around in his seat, just waiting to spew this.
There's
hate
literally
on Batman.
Steam coming out of his headphones, which is very odd. I hope you're not under a smoke detector, my friend. Okay, Scott, Batman.
Batman annoys me way more than any other DC character.
Oh, this is so good.
Because he has the potential to be a good character. Superman. He's crap from the get-go. I've never seen a good incarnation of Superman. I never will. I could see a good incarnation of Batman. But the problem is, they make, I am the knight. That's him. That's all he is.
And yeah.
Constantly goes back. I've only ever seen one good incarnation of Batman, and that is in the animated film Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah.
That character in there of Batman, of Bruce Wayne, had depth, had pathos, and had was interesting. And I really sympathized with him. Hmm. I have not sympathized with him in any other of his movies, either live action or animated or whatever. Wow. He's always been a one-dimensional, gritty, I mean, and unless you're talking way back in, you know, like the 40s and the 60s and stuff, when he was all like campy, like bam, whiff, pow, gee willikers. And that was another kind of stupid.
Well, I mean, he's got, you know, the Mask of the Phantasm is amazing. You did not like the Batman the Animated Series?
No, I respect the Batman Animated Series, mainly because it gave us the gift of Mark Hamill's Joker. Oh, praise be unto him.
Yeah.
But
if you think about, like, the Batman in the movies, he is kind of, even though they show us his origin over and over and over again, and maybe not as much in the Nolan movies, but still, it's just it is kind of thinly drawn. Like, we're just expected to just assume, oh, he's Batman, he's dark, he's angsty.
I love Batman, so he's my favorite DC character. He's the only DC book I still currently read besides Justice League.
Yeah.
But
shame on you, sir.
But I could see why there would be the hate, because Batman is just a normal guy, which is the appeal for a lot of people. But he's always the guy that has the answer to everything. He's also always the guy that can beat someone's ass, even though he's just a human being.
And he has no powers. You can't respect that. Like, so, Scott, listen, let's talk about just the character. Yeah. Like, the character as on page, you know, what the character is. Because for me, honestly, the DC, if it wasn't for Superman, Batman, comic books wouldn't be where they are today, I feel, superhero comics.
Well, get into the character, though. What don't you like about him?
Well, one of the main things I don't like about is the fact that everyone keeps calling him the world's greatest detective. I'm sorry, he is not the world's greatest detective. I don't even think he should be called a detective. All he ever does is take a piece of evidence from a crime scene and then plug it into the Bat computer. He basically has just a hyper-advanced version of Google. I'm not a detective because I have Google. Why is he?
You know, Sherlock Holmes, world's greatest detective.
Thank you. Yeah.
Batman, maybe not so much.
Maybe it's not so much of it.
He does a lot of detecting in the comic books, but it's through a lot of sheer brute force many of the times.
Right.
Maybe he's just interrogating thugs, just like, where are the drugs going? That's not detective. That's just being intimidate. Okay,
it's called enhanced interrogation.
So did you not like the everyone praised the Nolan films. Maybe not so much the third one, but what did you think of them?
I respect the Nolan films. I respect Christopher Nolan as a filmmaker. I didn't really like them, but I don't have enough reasons to hate them except for the third one and maybe a few plot points that really were very stupid in the second one. But he tried to do something different. He tried to be innovative. He tried, and I think failed, to make the character interesting. But I appreciate him trying.
Right.
And so I'll always respect him and the films for that. So that's really all I can say about it, really.
You're right. They did. I mean, the Nolan films, I liked them. But the most interesting character out of the three films is obviously Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
And these
are supposed to be Batman films.
I mean, Batman is, I believe he's in it for like 20 minutes in the third fucking movie. I don't even think he's in the movie.
How did he get from that hole, though? How did he get from the hole in the ground with no money and no equipment all the way to Gotham?
Yeah,
how?
Pretty
did he call
quick.
The cab?
Undetected.
Undetected with a recently broken back.
Right.
Oh, that's no problem.
Which he rehabbed in jail.
Yeah, without any doctors or any kind of...
He maintained his physique, though.
Right.
I think he ate a chip in that one.
Yeah, it seemed like none of his muscles atrophied during that time.
He's got a broken leg that can't really work very well. Oh, that's okay. We'll just slap this magical bracelet on and that will make it work.
Now I can kick harder.
Yeah. Maybe I should build a suit that's like mechanical and could shoot laser beams. Oh, wait, someone else already did that.
So we should we play Rug Boys clip?
Yeah, let's play. So have you heard of the Rug Boys, Scott?
I in the last one of the Fantastic Four, I listened to him. He sounds like an interesting fellow.
Oh, believe me, he's got a lot to say. And we asked him what he thought of DC and got a clip so he could also interact in the conversation. Here it is.
What do I think about DC? all right, DC gets there first, and they squander the opportunity. They fuck up the naming process. They always name it something stupid. They're like they don't know how to lock into like the cool zone. They're always on the edge of being like silly. You know what I mean? And I get that, you know, back in the day, that's what they were doing, making silly names for things and, you know, silly costumes and all that stuff. But Marvel just seems to be able to tap into, like, the thing that makes it cool, you know, that cool factor. They always have a human way, a weakness to the character that's good. You know, a great weakness is always, you know, makes it more well-rounded. And DC's characters, you have to kind of, like, be – rewrite them 1,000 times. That's why they can't decide on a definitive origin for anything. You know, they always rewrite like even their best characters. The only one that stayed somewhat close to like is Batman, somewhat close. And even they've been changing Batman's history a little bit here and there, tweaking it. But like Superman's been randomized, like John Byrne had to reboot that shit. And then they rebooted it like two other times. Wonder Woman, it's been rebooted 1,000 times. Green Lantern went through like its whole process of being the one kind of Green Lantern, and they switched to a different kind of Green Lantern. Like, all of their heroes has like fundamentally changed because they got off on the wrong foot.
You know, Rugboy brings up two really good points. Let's work backwards. The problem with the continuity is it's really major in the comic books.
Scott's got something to say.
Scott, lead us off.
Right. So yeah, they keep rebooting their own continuity every couple of years, and I guess in the beginning, that's, you could have said that that's just one way to do it. That, you know, Marvel, they keep on doing one continuous long continuity. They have their way of doing it. DC has their way of doing it. But now it's gone to the point where we've done it so many times that it can be confusing for new readers.
Yep.
And it can put a lot of people off if they get really invested in this one character and the way they operate, and suddenly they're completely different. I mean, New 52, I didn't read a lot of the stuff, but I know that they really messed up a lot of their female characters.
Yeah.
And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why are they fixed?
Well, what if it's broke when you start?
How do you fix that?
How do you fix that?
Then you remove it. You get rid of
just
it.
Just fucking delete it. You know what? DC lost me, had me, then lost me again. Right. Like, before the New 52, I didn't really give a fuck about any of it. And then I was like, oh, New 52. Oh, this is interesting. I was totally on board. I bought all the shit. It's filled up this room right now. But then slowly, after about a year and a half, I started buying less and less. And then they pull this convergence fiasco, and now they've lost me completely. Like, I have no – all I read is Batman Justice League. I have no idea what's going on. And Marvel's done the same thing, but it's way more interesting and a lot more fun to read.
It's way more interesting just because of the fact that Marvel's never really done anything
yes.
like that. Whereas DC, there's been five or six of these.
I mean, for their readers, if you're not hardcore, every few years they lose them, they get them, they lose them, they're going to get them back, they're going to lose them again. Fucking make up your mind. What are you doing over there?
Right.
What do you want, DC? What do you want?
I don't know.
How about, let's go with this, Scott. What did you think of, we hate on this a lot. We hate on this guy a lot. What did you think of Zack Snyder's Man of Steel?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, man, this is going to be good.
I can't really say anything that no one has said before.
That's true.
Because you can say it in a British accent. It'll be
yeah,
great.
It just makes it better.
That's a good point. I found it most displeasing. It's a lot of little things, and they try to make him like Batman.
Yeah,
right. Well.
And they had him destroying Gotham. Here's another thing that really annoys me. They have him destroying Metropolis. I nearly said Gotham. It's Metropolis.
Yeah.
And in the new one that they're going to do, Batman versus Superman, it seems like that Superman's going to have a lot of backlash in the film because of that. And I get the feeling that DC are trying to cover their own arse.
Yeah.
Because they're like saying, yo, yes, wasn't that bad that Superman nearly destroyed half the city?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sitting here thinking, yes, DC, it was bad. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
I hate it when someone tries to cover up their own mistakes
yeah.
by agreeing with people saying, oh, yeah, that was a mistake. Wasn't that stupid? Yes, It was stupid. You can't make a joke about that. You can't get away with that. Stop trying to justify it.
Yeah, and you can't play along like that was the plan the whole time.
I know. It seems weirdly reactive for like a huge movie franchise to base the next storyline based on fucking hate that you got from the last story. I make it look like, oh, see, we're listening.
We did it. We planned this.
What the fuck?
It'd be like in the next Fantastic Four film, if they ever do that, if they had all the characters going like saying, hey, weren't we really like not friends before and now we are friends? Do we have such a good relationship now? Wasn't it weird that we didn't?
Do we have a Fantastic Four part in this show?
Oh, yeah. Okay, the fallout continues.
We'll save that for the news.
We're going to get to that because that is neither Marvel nor DC. It's own fucking shit show right there, and it's right. Fascinating.
So what are
you – Cyclone of disappointment.
So the other – I want to talk about the other thing Rugboy mentioned,
okay,
which is one of my favorites, is DC's superhero names.
Okay.
We have said before, and Scott, you're probably going to agree with me, they have some of the weirdest, stupidest, lamest names out of the
villains
whole...
and superheroes.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter? He's hunting men? That sounds ominous.
You know, that is a good point. I never even thought about it that way. That he's a manhunter, you should be fucking scared of
him. Oh, yeah, you're right. Why is he Martian Manhunter, but he's a hero?
I'll tell you what. It's because DC stands for Detective Comics. And way back when they were introducing all these new characters, they were superheroes were taking off and getting really, really popular. But they were Detective Comics. Most of the characters were detectives. And so they had to shoehorn in the idea of superheroes being detectives, which I guess might have worked a little bit with Batman. But like this alien from Mars comes and says, I want to be a detective. Okay. Makes sense to me.
You know, and I think he was also inspired by John Carter a little bit.
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like we talked about on the last episode.
We did talk about that a little bit.
The ghost of John Carter returns.
So I sent these. Did you, these two? I just want to call out two names. These are actual characters, people. I will put a photo of these in the show notes because you have to see. Okay, so one of these guys is named Arm Fall Off Boy.
Oh, shit.
Fucking, I'm not even making this up. Like, I'm not joking. The character's name is Arm Fall Off Boy. First appearance in Secret Origins, number 46, in 1989.
Wow.
And drawn by Kurt Swan. Fucking Kurt Swan, who drew shitloads of Superman, who's great. How do we explain Arm Fall Off Boy? His powers are exactly what he has, the ability to detach his own limbs and beat people down with them.
You know, it's crazy too. They made that. I would have thought that would have been a character designed in like the 40s,
right?
Because they came up with a lot of character.
You would think this is a stupid nostalgia, old timey gimmick. This was 1989. What are you doing?
I didn't even know it was I thought it was like the 70s. Yeah. I didn't know it was that early.
Yeah, 70s would even excuse it a little bit more, but what are you doing, Arm Fall Off Boy? Okay, but this one, you think that is bad and late. This one, ladies and gentlemen, in 1993, in Doom Patrol, a Vertigo comic book, which is like their mature title, issue 70 introduces a villain called Codpiece.
Codpiece.
I can't even say it. Can anyone guess what his power is?
I wouldn't be guessing because I'm looking at the image and I'm kind of disturbed.
I think invisibility. Invisibility makes sense to me.
That is that's a good guess, but not correct. Because here, look, I can't even make this up. I'm just going to read this. Due to an inferiority complex about the size of his codpiece, he often interpreted comments against him in a negative light. Eventually, he created a suit with a codpiece weapon system and became a supervillain. He primarily robbed banks. Basically, folks, the man has a giant gun strapped to his crotch. Like,
and this is 93.
This is 1993. This is almost like you would think this was Mad Magazine. I don't understand.
It sounds like a parody. It sounds like something, oh, this would never be taken seriously. DC apparently took it a bit seriously.
I mean, it's in Doom Patrol. Like, that's a legit book.
And Vertigo is supposed to be their mature line.
It's very weird. So, you know, we've done the Booster Gold and just...
Booster Gold.
What the fuck is a Booster Gold?
Plastic Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
We could go on and on.
On and on.
Marvel has its fair share of weirds.
Yeah. They actually do. And I'll put this link in the show notes. I found this article. It says 27 lamest superhero villains. And it's pretty much split up with Marvel and DC. I'm just going to – but number one was number one is a DC Comics character.
What the fuck is this?
His name is Matter Eater Lad.
Oh God!
So, and this was 1963, created by Jerry Siegel,
unbelievable,
and John Forte, and he's he can eat. He basically, his power is he could eat anything. He can eat anything. He can eat stuff
with his mouth. Yeah, just, nom nom.
Yeah. Where does that power come in handy? Can anyone just give me an example of when you eating anything? I guess if you're tied up or. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Look at number two.
Look out. I can eat through these handcuffs.
Yeah.
Just you.
Number two, though, is from Marvel, and it's a character called Ice Cream. Now, not ice cream, as in the lovely, delicious ice cream, but I.
As in your orb, your.
Scream.
Your face, the thing on your face.
First appearance, 1983, Obnoxio the Clown versus the X-Men, number one. Guess
wow.
what this
what
guy.
A crossover.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Obnoxio.
He can turn himself into any flavor of ice cream.
Is this right?
I guess so.
I didn't think that was his power.
Mutation. So it's a mutation that he can – what the hell?
Nerf. His power is a mutation, but he is assisted by his unstable molecular refrigeration system?
Oh, my God.
What?
I know mutation is a bit of a lottery, but man, did he lose. He lost big time.
Wow. He was at the end. They must have ran out of genes. So, wait. I'm still having trouble. Ice cream pretty much turns himself into ice cream.
Anything.
Beware the deadly power
let's,
of vanilla.
Let's get off these okay. people because
this is
– I know the show isn't like
– It makes my head
this
hurt.
This isn't higher intelligence,
oh
but let's stop talking about bad –
Yeah. Can
names.
We talk about something good?
Okay. No, we're not talking about anything good according to Scott.
All right. Scott, you know what? We're going to – let's get into some news bits. How about that?
One more yeah. question for Scott before okay. we get into the news bits. What are your thoughts on the upcoming DC Extended Universe?
The DCEU?
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah, they're copying Marvel. And in fairness, there's no way around that. I mean, I'm not going to say that Marvel, I mean, Universal Monsters had a whole shared universe thing
yeah.
before Marvel. So it's not like they did anything new.
Godzilla.
But at the same time, DC would Godzilla, yeah. DC were trying for years to make their own movies. They tried to do a Wonder Woman movie, and that kept on crapping out. And suddenly, Marvel's really popular. Oh, well, I guess we better get our skates on and make a bloody shared universe,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And the worst part is they're not even doing it right. They're lumping all the characters into one movie, at least most of the characters, straight off the bat, and then going almost straight into a Justice League movie. No, you need time to establish these characters in their own singular movies. That's how it works. That's the best way to do it. If you're going to rip off Marvel, rip it off properly.
Yeah. Again, they're doing the thing where they're doing it backwards and saying, oh, this is our plan. We're going to do it backwards. When really, you don't have a choice
at
this
point.
It's
very reactive. Everything DC does is very reactive.
It's very reactive. Yeah. But the irony is, and what we talked about in our Marvel versus DC show is essentially DC gets there first, Marvel does it better.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So now we know. Now we know you don't have high hope for.
And a lot of it is like.
I do have one high hope.
Oh,
okay,
what's that?
Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Because it is the only original thing that DC is doing right now. It was original when they first did the comics. It's a team of supervillains.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. I mean, the Thunderbolts, Marvel did, but that was years later.
Yeah.
Not even Marvel right now is doing something like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's a high chance that they're going to mess it up because it's DC and they can't help it. They just love shooting themselves in the foot. But I really hope it works out well. I don't care about Batman versus Superman, and I don't care about Justice League, but I do care about Suicide Squad because it is original. And it's interesting.
It's different.
Is it going to be R-rated?
No.
I don't think
it is.
It should.
But it should. Yeah. It should.
And I agree with Scott. Is my hope for DCEU properties is anything that does not have Zack Snyder directing it. Should be fine. It'll be great. Because how do you feel about Zack Snyder as a writer-director kind of?
His welcome has long since worn out. It was great in 300.
Yeah.
And I guess You could find aspects of Watchmen, if you were being really charitable, that you like. But then he did Sucker Punch, and it's just like, what the hell is this mess? What is this oversaturated mess?
Have you seen Sucker Punch?
I've seen excerpts and stuff, and
it might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Oh,
that bad?
It's so bad.
And was that based off a comic or an original story?
He tried coming up with an original thing, but he literally was like, let's use
all the fetishes.
Yeah, let me do every fetish and every cool thing I thought was cool back as a kid and put it in a movie. But not make it heavy.
I mean, again, I said it before. I've said it over and over and over again. Visually, the man gives you what you want. He can give you a great panel to comic book screen translation. It looks amazing. Now,
he tried that with Watchmen a lot. He tried to replicate it as best as he could.
Yeah, and I thought he accomplished that. Like, that movie was almost a straight panel for panel translation.
But there was no, he
cannot direct a performance to save his life. And none of the performances in any of his movies make you feel for them. Like, it's just flat to me.
Yeah, very flat.
So why doesn't he just be in charge of the look and you get someone who can work with actors and really get the best performance?
That was the problem with Watchmen is, yes, it was a recreation of panel for panel. But just like reading a comic book, it is a flat comic book.
Yep.
You need three-dimensional
It was literally
people.
A it 2D was, goddamn fucking movie.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Could not have put it better.
It's a different medium. Right. You do need to make some allowances and try to make it a film, but not just a representation of the comic.
I think Frank Miller pulled it off with Sin City or Robert Rodriguez with Frank Miller's Sin City. There's an example of great translation comic to film and really good performances.
Yeah, but you can't use what Snyder did with Watchmen is he used the comic book as storyboards.
But that's what Rodriguez did with Sin City. Like, Frank Miller's Sin City is basically a movie in storyboards.
Right.
But he used the visuals in such a way that you wouldn't even know it's from a comic. I mean, it's black and white, but beyond that, he made it a film.
Yeah.
You could quite happily not read Sin City, although you should.
Yeah.
And still appreciate the film for what it is.
Yeah,
can't appreciate Watchmen.
No. Yeah, it's just like there's just that little thing missing.
Yeah. Mm. Well,
a giant squid.
Yeah. Well, like, let's, you know, man, that ending, I think it was smart to change the ending of The Watchmen because I don't think a giant squid would have worked. In the book, it works.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But what do you think about that? What did you think about that ending, Scott?
At first, when I first saw it, I was appalled. Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
But then I stopped. And I thought about it, and I thought, okay, it makes sense. There are other people on the other side of the argument who says it doesn't make sense and it's worse, and they have a lot of good points.
Yeah.
But I appreciate him trying to make a change that makes sense, because it's film. You have to make changes. You do. And if this was going to be the one big thing he changed, then I'm okay with that.
And I mean,
he also made, what's his name, Dr. Manhattan naked. That was another change.
No, but he wasn't he naked in the book? I remember.
I thought he was naked a lot in the book.
He was naked a lot
in the
book.
I thought he had black briefs in
the book. No, but you saw him walking around naked a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Which that's why he did it to like. But I mean, you're changing like the climactic end conclusion that's huge for the story. You get to the same obvious end, but I don't know.
You find yourself in a different place.
Yeah.
Same journey, different place.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it comes down to the medium and the time. It was different medium, different time. So, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we have more DC stuff to talk about in the news.
Holy shit, let's get to the news. The Jock and Nerd Podcast. So, we know Season 2 of The Flash, starting soon, what is it, October 10th, will have Jay Garrick in it. And they gave us this awesome image. I kind of love what they did here.
Recreated a comic book.
They recreated the cover of The Flash. The Flash number 123, Flash of Two Worlds. They recreated it, and we get the first look as Teddy Sears, as Jay Garrick. And it's kind of awesome because, like, you would think that helmet and the thing looks silly, but I think it looks fucking badass.
I don't know about badass, but go ahead, Scott.
Well, I'm not that familiar with Jay Garrick. I thought when it was first announced that the Flash was going to happen, I thought that John Wesley Shipp, or whatever his name was going to be like the Flash, because he was the Flash in the 90s version, 90s television series.
Right.
But now we're I think it's probably a good idea that they've waited until now to bring him on.
I
don't know. It could go either way. It could actually be really interesting, or it could be really silly. If it is silly, they'll probably just own it. And just like, yeah, it's silly. But if they try to make it serious whilst it's silly, that could be a problem. Mm-hmm. So it really depends what tone they go for and then how they handle that set tone.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's
very goofy.
Point.
Yeah, it's goofy.
But they, you know, this show out of all of them has done a great job at committing to the comic book, to being comic booky and making it work.
A giant telepathic gorilla? How did they make that serious? Okay. But they did it.
Yeah, right. Fucking Grodd, dude. Yeah, I love Grodd. But I have faith. It is a little hokey. It's a little.
But they embrace the hokey. And what the Flash does well is they embrace the hokey and they acknowledge on the show that it's a hokey.
You buy into it and you just go. You know, it's
literally Cisco Ramon's character is the guy that's like, this is all stupid.
Yeah, and that you know that little bits of takes the edge off of it, right. and helps it. You just helps your suspension disbelief and you're all in. Like, right. I love it.
Yeah, because they own it. Yeah. They're confident about it.
Right. God, if Gotham just owned some of their shit just a little bit, that show could be so much better.
It's the Flash is like that nerd that like goes up to a girl and owns that he's a nerd and he's really proud of
it. And yeah, he's cute and charming.
Right, exactly. Where he's
awesome
cute and charming.
Sleeve.
Yeah. He's cute and charming and uses it to his advantage.
Yeah.
And the Flash does that.
Well, they had the benefit of, you know, doing Arrow and figuring out kind of the formula and how to tweak it for this.
Well, a little bit, but Arrow is so different.
Yeah.
Arrow's that guy.
It's good that it's different.
It is. Yeah,
it's good that it's different. But Arrow's that guy that goes up to the girl, and he was a nerd in college, but then he like dressed up better.
He started doing CrossFit and got paleo, lost a lot of weight.
He's trying to play the part of someone else.
Scott, where do you hope to see from Legends of Tomorrow?
Oh, God, I don't know. I saw the trailer, and I thought, okay, this is interesting. Rory from Doctor Who is now a time traveler again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the fact that they're doing a sort of a crossover of all these different, you know, heroes and villains, and they're bringing in together a team.
Yeah.
Because it informs the universe around them. It makes it seem a lot more cohesive. And I think it shows a sense of progression. Mm-hmm. So for that alone, I'm intrigued.
That universe is
is peaked.
Yeah, because their universe is about to become very rich. And it's about to grow. Now, how do you feel about the fact that the DCEU movie universe in this universe is, again, are they doing it wrong? Where they tried, he's cringing. Go, Scott, go.
Oh, this annoys me so much. Because you have a television show and that you include, you know, Grant Gustin, you know, Billy, whatever his name is, The Flash. And then you go off and you do The Flash.
Yeah.
But they're in the same universe.
Yeah.
And you have plans, an infinite possibility for a shared TV universe, which Marvel is sort of doing, you know, of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and, I guess, Daredevil. But DC did it first, I guess, as we keep saying. And then you just say, okay, we're going to focus on the movie shared universe. It's just like, but you have a shared universe.
Yeah.
You have the cake. Don't bake another one. This one needs to be eaten first.
Bird in hand.
Hello?
That's a good point. Well,
bird in hand. You have it. You have the shared
universe.
It's
all right there, people. What are you doing?
It's good. That's the way I wouldn't mind so much if it was a crappy shared universe.
Like,
But it works. If it works, why? Again, it's not broken, but they feel that they need to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just – what?
I just him going,
I'm very vocal when I get passionate. I don't have the words, so I just make squeaks and grunts and
the man is exasperated.
That's
exactly what I am.
I mean, especially since Grant Gustin is doing so well as Barry Allen?
Yeah.
And then they're gonna cast Ezra Miller in the movie universe as Barry Allen.
It's gonna confuse the fucking non-comic book fan to shit, dude. It's just, and you're right. Like, they have, how do they not see that? Like, they're getting acclaim on this TV universe, and they're getting nothing on their movie universe, and yet they're like, oh, fuck, we gotta do this thing and tie all these movies together.
Arrow was already kind of in the tone of Batman, or Man of Steel, so it could have easily crossed over and made sense.
Well, the very least, they could have made the two shared universes one, so you could do what Marvel are doing, which is have television stuff and have movie stuff, and it's all one big universe. But no, they make it separate. Why?
Right.
Division. It's not good.
No. I want to know, did you hear about Scott? Did you watch Constantine? What did you think of Constantine?
Constantine, I had mixed feelings from the start, and I had mixed feelings through to the end. I think it was good enough that it shouldn't have been cancelled.
Absolutely.
I think it was bad enough that if the second season had continued that trend, then the second season should have been the end. But I think it's a bit of a waste of potential. I really like Matt Ryan as John Constantine.
Yeah, he's great.
But I tell you what, oh my God, I hated the person who played Zed.
Zed,
oh,
yeah.
My God.
Well, she wasn't even really supposed to be in it. It started out with another Liv Aberdeen, who's a character from the comic books, and then I forget what happened, but she just disappears, and they introduce Zed, and yeah, Zed was a little bit annoying, a little bit. But I think you're right. If they had gotten another season, they were really starting to figure it out by the end.
Yeah, it was starting to come together. I like this whole – they left him a cliffhanger, if you remember. The whole thing with the angel.
Oh, yeah. The Gabriel was a bad guy. Yeah, he was the one who was he was pulling all the shit. Well, I'm excited. We said this on the last show. John Constantine will appear in the fifth episode of Arrow's upcoming fourth season.
Yes.
Oh, and there was a ton of Twitter and social media push behind this.
Yeah, well, they were shopping the show around. A lot of people didn't want it to end. And right. I think largely because of Matt Ryan and his performance, and he just got Constantine so right. And the tone of it was just the right amount of sci-fi, mystical, fun, you know. And then sometimes it would be really creepy and horror with, like, scary little kids. Like, it was a good show. The episode will be titled Haunted.
Ooh.
And the network says John Constantine is a weather-worn exorcist, an expert on supernatural and the occult. He's a detective. Basically, he's going to be – I saw another thing where he's going to be part of Sarah Lance getting resurrected.
The Lazarus Pit.
Yeah, and the Lazarus Pit and her becoming White Canary into Legends of Tomorrow.
Another example of the shared universe working.
Yeah.
Right. DC.
Yeah.
Why aren't you paying attention?
Yeah, no, really. But like for Arrow, this will be the first like magic-y – well, no, that's, after
– No, it is.
Yeah, it's the first magic-y thing.
I mean, Lazarus Pits is kind of magic-y a little bit, but Arrow – it's a good progression because Arrow, the first season was very human.
Yeah.
Second season, they introduced the meta.
I mean, no
aspect.
Powers. Yeah, you didn't see powers really second for a long time until the second season.
And then third kind of – the wheels kind of fell off a little bit, in my opinion. But now the fourth season, they're introducing a magic aspect.
It is a good evolution of it because right. This is like straight up occult mysticism, and it pushes that whole – the possibilities even more for where you can – yeah.
And I'm hoping that this will mean that we'll see Constantine in his own show again. But I don't think it should be a show where he's on his own. I think we should have like a magic – team-up show like yeah. Legends of Tomorrow, yeah. But like him and Zatanna.
Yes. Well, oh, they should do Justice League Dark.
There was Guillermo del Toro, there was a ton of rumors that he was going to do that. And
is that movie canned?
I think it's canned.
Fuck,
right
dude,
now.
Make that a dark occult team-up show with Zatanna, with maybe, oh, I'd love to see Swamp Thing,
there
Black
was a
Orchid.
Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing, yes.
How awesome
would that be? In the comics had
yes.
a really good relationship.
Yes.
Dead
that
Man.
Work.
Dead Man would be great. Like, you could really push this and have a lot of fun with it. Like, DC
Spectre.
Has – yeah, Spectre, which that – the guy was going to be Spectre. He was on
– we're never going to see that unless they do this.
Yeah. He was turning into the Spectre on the show at the end of the show. And
Constantine
then,
was?
No, the – I forget who – what his
– Jim Gaffin.
Jim – yeah, yeah.
Because I never watched any
and it. And he was named the character who turns into the Spectre, and that was happening, and it was really exciting. And then the show just fucking stopped.
Yeah.
Well, it stopped because they put it on a Friday night. And no one. I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much quality. In the States here, they put it on a Friday night. No one watches TV
it's
on a Friday
dead.
Night.
Yeah.
And
even with
DVRs, it.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, why should that matter anymore?
Yeah. Age of the internet. We should watch it whenever we want. But,
yeah.
Right. But at the end, I mean, people just didn't watch it. Friday nights are terrible for TV, and they put it on about Friday night. So they kind of marked it for death.
Here's something interesting. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say another American television show bites the dust in spectacular fashion.
Here, I found something else really interesting. Scott, I think you'll find this interesting.
Mm-hmm.
DC Comics Workplace Comedy in works at NBC called Powerless. NBC has picked up the pilot for Powerless, a half-hour single-camera comedy set in the DC universe.
I've heard... Actually, no, I haven't heard Stranger Things. I was about to say, I've heard weirdest stuff. No, this is the weirdest. This is the weirdest.
Right?
It's super strange.
I'm
just hearing about this right now, and I don't...
So it says the stars of the series will be the powerless workers who envy the superheroes that populate their work.
It's like an insurance company or
it's
something?
It's set in one of the worst insurance companies in the United States. So it'll focus on working life
already, for Nolan. It's already off to a bad start. They're not going to be able to acknowledge Superman or Batman.
No, so none of these shows
so
can.
So they're going to be like looking up to, oh my God, man, Plastic Man was the greatest.
They'd be like, Booster Gold left his fucking cell phone here again. Can somebody find him?
Like, that arm fall off, boy. What a hunk.
So that that's interesting. It's an interesting way to go. But is it set?
DC at this point is shopping around all their TV shows to every single network. So it looks like their plan is to just flood the market with DC.
They're diluting the universe already. Like we talked in the last episode. Now you have the Supergirl show. This is yet another universe.
You have the Supergirl show on.
Oh boy,
CBS.
Scott is steaming, and then you're gonna have this fucking thing, well, another universe.
Listen, then they'll have Titans on as well. They're doing the Titans show,
and then Krypton.
They're calling it Blackbirds, aren't they?
What's that?
I thought they're calling it like Blackbird. Or
yeah,
something.
That might be a different show.
Yeah, and then there's like there's that Krypton
Show.
So are they further really fracturing their goddamn universe? What are they doing, Scott? Go comment.
On all of those, it's just so. I was really not because of Supergirl. I thought, okay, so she's going to be part of the shared universe. Oh wait, no, we're going to keep her to ourselves. Yeah. Why? Why would you do that? You have a shared universe ready and waiting, and it's nice and safe and cozy. Why do you want to go out into the cold to possibly die of starvation?
It really, like, this is it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's getting fractured and fractured.
Well, I see what they're doing. They want to put all their property on TV. So it's, you think about DC, every channel you turn on is DC, DC, DC. And they're trying to do it differently than Marvel because Marvel's owned by ABC.
Yeah.
Whereas DC, they can go out and put their show on TNT and put their show on CBS and put their show on NBC and they'll be on every single network. So it's just a different strategy. I don't think any of us really like it, but,
I don't know what they're doing,
but you know, we'll see.
It's just a mess. I'm so weary of it all.
Scott has been on the webcam, it looks like.
Yeah.
And I can't count how many times he's tried to bite his his finger, like say something.
I believe his lip is bleeding at this point.
Throw his hands up in the air and
tearing my hair out.
Yeah. Tearing his hair out.
He had hair and now he's lost 2 pints of blood from biting his lip so hard. It's you know, Scott, though, I got to say the two parts of DC that I think are the highlights are the TV shows and their animated full-length features. What do you think about those? I kind of love a lot of those, and I feel like I wish they did that as live action.
It's sometimes you get real gems like Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah.
Other times you get utter crap like Justice League War.
He doesn't like Justice League War. Yeah, we saw it.
Which one was Justice League War?
That was the where they're introduced.
Oh yeah, we thought that was all right.
It's like all the characters were jerks in that one. Wonder Woman,
they kind of were.
Kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Batman, kind of a jerk. Yeah. Green Lantern, kind of a jerk. What's a mouthy jerk?
But
Superman,
you're right.
Weird
you're right.
Jerk.
When they this was New 52, they kind of took this theme of making everybody an asshole.
Yeah, and in the New 52 in the comic books, they were all fucking jerks. They're all just kind of snarky.
Not cool, not edgy, annoying.
Yeah. Like Superman was a young punk. Wonder Woman was just a straight up B.
Yeah.
Batman was a jerk. Green Lantern was a jackass, like talky jerk.
But you know, sometimes I like superheroes being dicks. Like sometimes that could be entertaining.
But you can't have that many dicks.
No, but if they're all dicks, I guess it's just kind
of. If you've
crazy.
Got five dicks, it's that's a lot of dicks.
It's a sausage party. Yeah, I believe.
It's a circle jerk.
How many
at that
dicks
point.
Is that?
What's that? What's that, Scott?
It's dangerous. That's it. Things flying around.
This is like a Rug Boy episode.
Scott is like our English Rug Boy. I love it.
Oh, shit.
I'm trying to keep it a nice, high, classy tone here, but obviously I'm failing.
But you saying it, though, makes it all right. When me and this fellow American over here say it, it sounds like shit.
We're just dumb Americans.
Yeah.
I have to – you guys want to take a break? I got to pee really bad.
Okay.
Scott, I did want to ask you one thing. I want you to listen to this and listen to the delivery of this accent. Let me know what you think.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
What is your initial thought?
Well, my initial thought is the same initial thought that every English person has when they hear someone who is obviously not English try to do an English accent, which is, how dare you?
Oh, shit.
Darkness, you yes. can't have it.
Yeah, that was me.
Can you do an American accent?
Oh, that's a good question.
I can't do an American accent. I can do American stereotypes, like a few American stereotypes.
Okay.
Oh, give us your best one.
I think there's like, I don't know, like Valley Girl. Like, oh my God. Like, I saw this guy at the mall and he was like, hi. And I was like, what? And I was like, it was like totes awkward.
There are people that talk like that.
That's pretty good, dude. That's good.
Talking nerd.
You get one of those for that. Very good.
There are people that talk like that. It's
yeah.
a real thing.
Yeah. These accents are around for a reason.
Do you have any other ones or are you good?
I can do Faded Southern Belle.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm afraid my dad's card is full this evening. You have a mint julep by any chance?
I love it.
So, yeah. I like all the accents I can do are female accents.
Are you recording this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you might have to put this like at the end after the show.
No,
like,
this is staying over. Right where it is.
Oh, right here? Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So to finish up the news segment, ladies and gentlemen, I want to... This is all going right in.
I need a mint julep.
It's gold. What the fuck is a mint? I love how the stereotypes over there are the same. Like, we think things that they're like, what's that? And yeah. they're like, mint julep, Al Capone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's...
You all have guns and cowboy hats.
Pretty much. Yeah. Don't mess with Texas.
When you said you were in Scotland too, the first thing I thought of was Braveheart. I'm like, you don't talk like that, you son of a bitch.
I've been to that big the big castle there you got in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh Castle.
I've been there. Yes,
Edinburgh
I've been
Castle. There. Yes,
in the early 90s, I think. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it's beautiful. I really love the UK.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've heard.
The thing is, I love the British humor. I love British TV shows.
But the thing is, when you say UK and then
I
you
love
say
Great Britain.
British, so I always get confused because UK is the all like Britain, Ireland,
Scotland,
Wales.
Is that correct?
But then
it's the difference between geography and politics, basically.
Okay. I do.
UK is the political national term. The British Isles is the geographical term.
Right. But then when you say I like it because of all the British stuff, then.
And then the country is England. Like, there's like seven fucking different ways to talk about where you live,
and
Scott.
Then don't like the Irish and the Scottish people are like, hey, I'm not like the English. I'm not really English. I don't know. I get confused.
Yeah, you guys are like.
And you guys all have all different accents. I guess it's the same here.
It's just like here, though.
Yeah.
You walk 10 miles in any given direction in Britain, then you will find a different accent.
Okay.
You know what? Our friends over at 365 Flicks Podcast, Kevin and Chris, are going to enjoy this show because they are up in Northumberland.
Do you really think they're going to enjoy it? Like, if they had an American on and they were like, you know what? Imran and Anthony are really going to enjoy this American
that's on the goddamn show.
They'll
be like a friendly voice.
You know, like, think about it the other way.
You know, I just figured all people with the accent know each other. You guys don't know each other? Come on. It's not a big country.
It's like when, like, growing up and as half Asian, half white. There's another Asian kid in the school. Oh, you're going to like him. He's Asian too.
Do the secret handshake.
I mean, I know all the Pakistani people like in the city and the world.
But you just have to like them all, right?
No, I hate them all. I fucking hate them all. Goddamn desis.
You guys should be friends. You guys are both Asian. Oh, okay. We'll be friends.
Yeah, that always works out.
Right.
Anyways, we're going to change gears a little because we got to talk about this Fantastic Four fallout.
Oh, we can talk about this forever.
Wow. Scott, has the movie come out over there? He is biting his hand, ladies and gentlemen.
It came out. I think it came out after
it has.
Guys,
yeah.
But it has been out for several, I think almost a week now.
Have you seen it?
A bit more.
Have you seen it, Scott?
Sadly, I have.
Yes!
Yes! All right! I'm proud of you, sir, for putting yourself through that. You deserve...
Talking nerd!
That's, you know...
You're a masochist, and I like
yes,
it.
I deserve a medal.
You really do. We all fucking do. So, real quick, what are your thoughts on the movie?
Yeah, let's get
Scott.
His thoughts.
I hesitate to talk about this because anything I say, again, has been said by everyone and no one.
Yeah.
But it is just a mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if you want, I hate to plug something, but if you really want an in-depth look at it, you should go on A Place to Hang Your Cape and check out my friend Mark Russell's review of it, because he really nailed that. He nailed it to the ground. God.
We put that link in our last show in our Fantastic Four review, the review and the other. There was two articles. So.
Two or three.
Oh, yeah. Because it's the fun thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I just love tearing it apart. What gets me about it is just how amateurish it is. I know there's a whole lot of problems in the production and on set and everything, Trank and, you know, the studio and everything. But here's the thing. This movie had three writers, and its structure, its basic three-act structure, is a mess. It's all over the place. How do you do that? I mean, I'm a writer. I've never been paid for any of my scripts, but I know three-act structure, and it's one of the hardest things to mess up. You have the setup.
Yeah.
You have the characters dealing with the obstacles after the setup, and then you have the resolution and the conclusion. It's not difficult.
No.
How do you make a film that is mainly first act, tiny little sliver of second act, and then rush third act?
So this is what I thought. I was like, well, there's no second act in this movie. This is a two-act goddamn film. How did they do that?
I was going to ask him, too, since you have written three-act movies, what were the flaws?
The man
on a
is
technical
went to school for screenwriting.
What were the flaws on a technical level?
What was the second act? I couldn't identify it.
I guess you could say the second act is like right after Reed goes missing and abandons his friends, the callous idiot.
I thought after 1 year later, that's the act change.
So are you saying in a second act you can't do a second act with a 1 year time jump and a montage of scenes?
To fill everyone in.
That's not a proper second act?
It was tiny, though, because like the second act is over the minute those other astronaut guys go over to Planet Zero.
Yeah.
Great name, guys. And God, you couldn't have called it like the negative planet or something because the physics are so weird. No, but anyway, I digress. The point is they find Doom, and that's the beginning of the third act when he suddenly goes Sylar on steroids.
Yeah, that's a small second act then. Yeah.
The thing is, too, is
Slither.
A lot of superhero films it's a superhero film that is a crime drama or a sci-fi horror. This movie, and there's a certain delicate balance to balancing those things. Whereas Fantastic Four was this wondrous sci-fi thing at first, then it became sort of this horror aspect during the second
body
act.
Horror,
body horror, But then the third, they're like, oh, we gotta ramp up the superhero aspect.
Yes.
So they threw that on there
instead
of blending.
That's
the
where
three,
the reshoots came in.
Yes. Yeah. So instead of blending the three, it's three distinct tones within a movie.
Yeah.
It's
like Robin Williams' film, Man of the Year, where it tried to be a conspiracy thriller and a comedy and like a political thing. You can't be everything at once. Yeah. You have to pick something and stick with that and exploit it for all that it's worth.
Right.
And that's another thing that really annoyed me about the film is the tone. It's just like they said right from the beginning, oh yeah, we're going to go for a real gritty, dark tone. But the Fantastic Four is not dark and gritty.
Yes.
You can have it grounded. You can, because it's a family unit, and you can have dysfunction and real issues. That's ample opportunity for that.
Yeah.
But they did, and I hate to say this because it's Marvel, but they did what DC do, which is try to make things dark and gritty when they shouldn't be dark and gritty. The tone exists for a reason, and the Fantastic Four, I like to think of them as sort of like a middle ground between the Avengers and the X-Men.
Yeah.
The X-Men are down on the ground dealing with issues and bigotry and persecution. The Avengers are up in the clouds, dealing with cataclysmic, world-ending scenarios, and like, and the Fantastic Four in the best of both worlds scenario, sort of in the middle.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Because they have the family,
so
the real-world issues, but then they're also space explorers, and they have the fun and the adventure.
No, the more I think about it, the more I think even his initial take of the tone is probably not a good idea. You're right. That's not – it should be like an action-adventure – like, The Incredibles is the tone of the movie you want for something.
Yes! I don't know if you guys – have you seen the Max Landis or someone put up on Twitter like the first four pages of his script for it?
I saw that. I didn't get to read it. Did you remember what was his version?
I remember it's just four pages, and it's literally it starts sort of in media res, I guess, like it's sort of in the middle. Like,
oh, it starts right in the battle. Like he does the great storytelling technique, drop the motherfuckers right in the middle of a fight. Let's go. That's what you want to see. Like Avengers 2,
get your attention right from the get go. I don't even remember how this version of Fantastic Four started.
It's already so, better.
Yeah, already better. Like these police cars come riding up to like it's like exterior Richard's farm. I guess Reed Richards' parents were farmers.
Yeah.
Bit weird, but okay. And they're like, and they get out like the loud hail or the mega speaker or whatever, and like say, "Reed Richards, come out with your hands up. What you're doing is illegal." And like a voice comes back on another PA system, and it's Reed just like saying, "Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. Sorry." This is kind of important. I'm sorry. And then like you hear Johnny Storm's voice in the background saying, "Reed, you are such a dork." And right from the get-go, those two have a much more interesting relationship in two lines of dialogue.
You got
the
character.
Entire film.
Yeah.
And you hear Ben's voice, and I think you hear Sue's voice, and eventually, out of like the barn, comes like this hand homemade spaceship, and they're flying off into the sky.
Oh, wow.
It's a bit cheesy, but at the same time, better than what we got here.
Wow, he stuck to the original origin. That's awesome.
I kind of liked what I got the feeling that in this version, Trank's version, they were trying to do what they did in the Ultimate Fantastic Four comic.
Right. Yep, yep.
Like this big portal. But even that was going to the negative zone, not another planet.
Yeah.
They did it way better in the comics.
Yeah.
So, you know... I don't know.
Man, the stuff that has come out about the making of this movie, which is probably, is the huge reason of why it ended up the way. But some of this is astonishing. Apparently, Trank didn't produce enough material to even create a whole film that could be saved.
How do you – usually you have to cut things. How do you fall short of the mark?
Yeah.
You're right.
What was he doing?
Usually you make so much – well, it looks like from – he was – feeling it from the studio, and it looked like he was just like, "Fuck it, I'm not doing this anymore. I've shot about this much film, and you know what? Fuck it, I don't care anymore."
And then it says like he was really controlling over like the obsessing over the cast performances, like telling them when to blink, when to breathe, and I think that's why some of the performance tends to be flat.
Yeah, you can't micromanage the actors. You need to give them just at least a little bit of space in order to put their own inflection and their own performance.
Yeah.
Because they are artists and they are trying to do their own thing. They are not puppets for you to make dance. I mean, you can't give them complete freedom because then you get them with no direction. You get what George Lucas had with bloody Anakin Skywalker going, yeah. And so you need to hold the strings, but at the same time, keep them slack.
Yeah.
And You can't go to either extreme. And that's what the problem with this film is. It keeps on going to either extreme. The studio, it sounds like, at first they were like, "Nope, it's all you, Trank, you've got this. We'll give you complete creative freedom." And then when they found out that he was messing it up, they said, "Right, now we're in complete control."
Yeah.
And it's like, you need to find the middle ground.
And our listeners are pretty intelligent, but just want to distinguish that this is Fox's Marvel film?
Yeah,
it's really, Marvel Studios.
That's a good point. I was going to say, Marvel Studios would never – this would never happen. They know how to treat their characters.
And they know how to treat their directors.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they wouldn't – they would – if a direct – that's the thing with Marvel Studios. There's a lot of – they get a lot of flack for the Edgar Wright leaving, and they get a lot of flack for certain directors complaining. But they know that if they get a director that doesn't fit their system – it's done. They get them out.
Yeah.
They're not so meddling. They get guys that are part of the program or you're off the boat. It's not
They don't allow for auteurs.
Right.
It's about the film, not the director.
Yes.
And some people like that and some people aren't, and that's fine if
that's
you don't.
Fine, right.
You just get someone who can work it, right. Basically.
I mean, Trank is like a frat boy. Like he trashed the house that Fox rented for them in Baton Rouge. They're saying as much as $100,000 worth of damage. Like, who does that? What are you doing?
Do you think this is, like, real? Like, it almost seems as if it's just a smear campaign at this point by Fox.
Maybe.
Who knows?
I mean, I've heard about, you know, lawyers getting involved, so who knows? The thing is, you have to remember that being a director is probably the most stressful job on when you're making a film, because you are in charge of almost everything, but you have the studio breathing down your neck. I mean, I've worked, you know, with directors, you know, student directors and stuff, and it's a lot of responsibility, and some people can handle it and some people can't.
Yeah, it felt like it was, couldn't. Yeah, it was too much too soon. So obviously a lot of things were shot against the green screen last minute. Trank wasn't there. There's one article that says that him and Miles Teller almost got into a punching fight. They almost came to blows during the shooting of the movie. Like, just everything that could go wrong seemed to go wrong.
It's such a shame as well, because I was really excited when I heard this reboot was happening. I was one of the people who was like saying, we should have a Fantastic Four reboot. Yeah. This needs to happen. The last ones were crap. Let's do it right this time. And then it was announced, and I was like, yes, someone finally listened to me. I'm sure they weren't looking at me and saying, hey, that Scott guy has a great idea. But I was really excited, and then I heard about Josh Trank getting involved. I thought, well, he's the guy who directed Chronicle. I love that movie. Yeah. This is great. And then more and more details started to come out, and it's just like, okay, bit weird. What, they're making them really young? I don't think you should really do. Wait, what are you doing? Is that what the thing looks like? What are you doing? Stop!
I liked what the thing looked like, though. I thought that part wasn't bad. He looked like a monster. His voice kind of didn't match what he looked
like. The thing is, I mean, I didn't mind so much the look, but he just wasn't. He wasn't the thing. He wasn't Ben Grimm, and he wasn't really in the film.
Yeah,
and he was naked in the film.
And he was, yeah.
So
was
like
naked.
All those, like, there's a whole movie missing. We've talked about. You saw all that stuff in the trailer. Huge scenes that you can kind of imagine where they would go, just gone. Like, what happened?
We said this on the last show, but there's that scene in the trailer where the thing is dropping from the plane.
Yeah, they drop him like a bomb,
and that totally is not in the film.
And there was a Fantastic Car at one point, which also would have been kind of a fun thing at the end to bring a little lighthearted fucking something to the movie.
I get. Oh, gee. I mean,
it's just a mess. It's a mess.
Scott, did you think, when me and Imran kind of agreed, when we were first, the first act of the film, and there's holes in the first act, obviously, otherwise this would be a better film, but we actually thought the first act was okay for what it was. I mean, it wasn't a Fantastic Four film, but I thought the tone was all right.
It was. The first act is fine. Yeah. It's just, it's way, 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 way too long. The Tim Story Fantastic Four films did pretty much the exact same thing, right, and they just made it like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. It's condensing. It's paring things down. You could stretch it out so it's the whole movie.
But it was kind of meandering. Like, he should have tightened that shit up a little bit in the beginning, the same kind of tone.
I did like the character interactions. I thought there was a little bit of layers to some of the
characters.
That movie,
if it kept going at that pace, the movie would have been like 5 hours long.
For me, though, it all really came apart when Reed, you know, up and left.
When he does his best Bruce Banner impression and starts running across South America.
It's just that whole bit where he goes and runs away and they track him down and they bring him back. That whole thing was completely and utterly pointless.
Yeah, it was totally unnecessary.
Much stepped it right back.
Yeah.
No real arguments. No, I mean,
no repercussions.
Ben has a bit of a go at him. Yeah. That's it. And then they have to rush.
What's the point of all that?
If you can cut the whole second act for what little there is, then something is seriously wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, I like
his perspective, too, because he's written stuff like this and had to think about it on a different level. And you're right. If you can cut out the whole second act and it mean nothing.
It affects nothing of the story. You're not missing anything. That's not a good sign, people.
No.
It was really annoying as well, because it took me out of the movie while I was watching it. Because I usually can, even if it's a relatively bad movie, I can just sit and I can just absorb it. And then later I can realize, oh, wait, that was crap. But in this one, I was constantly being reminded of what was going wrong. I couldn't help it. I wanted to shut it off. I was just like, no, I'll take blissful ignorance, please. But no, it kept on assaulting me with just how much it didn't make sense.
Yeah. So what is worse, in your opinion, this movie or Green Lantern?
Oh, God.
We'll go with a shitty DC movie.
That's a tough one.
From around this era.
Green Lantern, structurally speaking, is fine. It's just kind of soulless.
Okay.
Like, I never really care much about the character.
Right.
I'm more distracted by the fact that his suit. Oh, my God, that suit. You could get away with a suit, but the mask. What was that with his eyes? There was something blue than Jessica Alba's in the second Fantastic Four movie. God. But this one, I guess you could say that some people try to put a little bit of passion into it, but it's bogged down by flat performances, stupid structure. It's just all over the place. I don't know how many writers were on the Fantastic Four, you know, Tim Story ones, or the Green Lantern one, but I don't think there were three.
No.
That's the main thing that I hate about this. There's three writers. Surely one of them should, guys, I don't think this makes a lot of sense. Why does he run away again?
I mean, they're just scrambling, clearly. It's like they are running out of time. They're scrambling. It sounds like it was a bit of a shit show.
I love getting his analysis, too, because he thinks of things in a different way.
Yeah.
So, like, Green Lantern, yeah, their structure was all right, actually. But you're right. There wasn't a ton of passion behind Green Lantern.
Here's the thing about structure, though. It's I say that's a good thing, but it's basic.
Right.
It's really, really like one of the first things you should hammer out while you're doing the treatment and, you know, just sort it. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's the easy part.
And then you work around that. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and which is why I was so surprised that they messed it up in this one. It's amateurish.
So that says a lot about how bad this film is that the structure even was screwed up, and that's the easiest.
Well, what was the original? Did Trank have an original story that was a full three acts that had structure? The guy's got to know structure.
What do you got, Scott?
Ugh. Oh God, no! It's just that I think early on when the bad press really started to get out there, he did a tweet that said like, "I had this really great vision for the film when it began. I'm sorry that that's not going to happen, but that's reality." And I got to thinking like, is that your excuse?
Yeah.
Do you think, yes, duh, you had a great vision. News for you, Josh Trank. Every single filmmaker from Steven Spielberg to bloody Uwe Boll has a good vision for the movie. Yep. No one sets out to make a bad movie.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. But your job as a director, as a creative, as a filmmaker, is to preserve that vision throughout the developmental process, and you failed in that. You don't have a leg to stand on. I'm sorry, that's a pretty poor commiseration for us. You had a really great idea. Sorry, I messed it up. You owed us a good movie, Trank, and you fail. You fail.
He does it. You got to work with people.
That's the thing. A lot of people. There's a side of the argument that's going to be like, oh, blame the studio for meddling. But I think he does deserve a ton of blame, not only for his unprofessionalism, but at the end of the day, you signed up for this.
Yeah.
You signed up with a big studio.
Amateurish is the right word.
Yeah. You fucked up too. You fucked up clearly.
I think everyone's to blame except for possibly the actors. They're just the puppets in this poor.
That's
and they
true.
Have to go. The worst part is they have to go on interviews and try to half-heartedly defend the movie or at least come up with something good about it.
Yeah.
And you can tell, you can see the desperation in their eyes. Like,
they had that one awkward interview that was making the rounds where, like, they couldn't even talk about it. Like, I can't imagine what he put them
through. What sucks, too, is, I'm in my opinion, the main cast, those four, the Fantastic Four, you don't see much of Ben Grimm's character, and Dr. Doom, Toby Kebbell, even the guy that plays Franklin Richards, I thought they were all—they're all pretty talented.
They're
people.
All very talented actors. Yeah. Yes,
I wasn't familiar with. Well, I mean, I know Jamie Bell and I knew Michael B. Jordan, but I wasn't familiar with Kate Mara or Miles Teller.
Yeah.
And then I saw Project X, and I thought, okay, I don't like this guy. Then I saw Whiplash, and I thought, oh, great, now he's genuine and everything.
Yeah.
And Kate Mara, I watched the first season of House of Cards.
She's great on that. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
She's brilliant. Yeah. And it takes a very bad director to make good actors give bad performance. Again, this is what happened with George Lucas in the prequels. Natalie Portman, she's a wonderful actress. She was awful in those movies. And it's all his fault.
But you're right. Like the over control of the director like just makes everybody wooden. Now, there are ways to do that. Like think of Stanley Kubrick's method. Stanley Kubrick was also torturous to his actors in the sense that he would do 100 goddamn takes of something over and over and over again. But he knew what he was doing. He knew the actor's talent, and he would get the amazing – at that moment when the actor is just broken down, cannot do it again, that next take is gold, and he was genius at pulling that out of people. And you know, afterwards, the actors probably appreciated having to go through that to get to that moment. Now, what they're doing is the opposite, obviously. They're just telling you and squishing it, and everything's flat and wooden and stale.
James Cameron and Quentin Tarantino, people like that, they know to be hard on the actors, yeah. but at the same time allow them to express themselves, and they work with them.
Right.
And this guy, he just wanted to control them, as you say. And you can't do that because puppets are wooden. They are made of wood.
This ain't goddamn Pinocchio, motherfucker. All right, you know what? I really am curious. Right now in the States, Disney's D23 Expo is happening. Day 2 Marvel panel today.
Is that today?
Right now.
So this is Saturday, August 15th. We are recording this at 1:37 p.m.
Let's
Central Time.
Let's check into the hashtag D23 Expo. There's got to be something.
I feel like it's the stuff might come out later. Oh, there's something.
This is happening right now.
No,
so
I'm saying like the Marvel panel probably later.
Oh, maybe it's later in the day. Well, yesterday, I mean, some exciting news. Incredibles 2, Toy Story 4.
Oh, wow.
Finding Dory and Cars 3, which that one I'm not. I think there was another one. Scott, comment?
Well, here's the thing. I loathe Disney. I cannot stand them. I like Pixar.
Yeah.
So Incredibles, I'm looking forward to. Finding Dory, I'm looking forward to. I could not care less about Cars. That's just there to make Pixar money. That's fine. That's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
But a lot of my friends hate this about me. My friend Mark, who also writes for the site, he's a huge Disney fan. We constantly get into debates about this. But I cannot stand Disney. I cannot stand 90% of their animated films. I think they are the antithesis of good film writing and good characters and general creativity. I think they take stories, like their adaptions, they take stories, and rather than telling those stories, they want to tell their stories and use those stories as a vehicle for them. They just hammer it into whatever stupid contrived marketing formula that they have cocked up and that they refuse to get out of, that they've been doing since the 40s. And that's another thing. They are constantly behind the curve of what is good and what is popular, and when they finally catch up to that curve, they say, oh yes, look, aren't we doing this now? It's great, isn't it? We're really getting onto what's popular, and like, yeah, you're finally getting on with it, but people have been doing the stuff that you're doing now like 10 years prior, 20 years prior. Oh good, you finally cottoned on to the fact that meeting someone for the first time and then immediately wanting to get married is a stupid idea. Well done. That was only the way you sold most of your stuff for decades.
I love this guy. He's a professional hater.
I love it, because I think Scott just hates things that start with the letter D. That's what I'm convinced. But also, it can be said that in the beginning, Disney built their empire co-opting stories by Hans Christian Andersen, the Grimm's brothers, Grimm's fairy tales, to the point where people think that Disney wrote Snow White, that Disney wrote Peter Pan.
As a person that grew up and didn't do all the research like that, I am the guy that thought
you would
they
think
wrote,
Disney made Little Mermaid.
I thought
Disney
they made
wrote Cinderella.
I thought they wrote Cinderella.
They had the Led Zeppelin of goddamn children's fairy tales.
Sleeping Beauty. I thought they came up with all.
Shit! Scott, comment.
Oh, God. Oh, you hit the nail on the head. It makes me so angry. I'm sorry, kids, but the Little Mermaid dies at the end of the real story.
Yeah.
She does not get married to the handsome prince.
They're evil geniuses over there, Disney.
Yes.
You gotta say.
What I was pointing
Iger at is number one on my hit list.
What I was pointing at that I didn't know is obviously they released a poster for the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
That's coming out, but John Favreau's
John Favreau directing live action.
It looks like a live action Jungle Book.
Oh well,
fuck off, Disney. How about you come up with something a new idea? How about that?
Exactly, and that's another thing. Yet another thing that they really know about them. They're getting into this habit now of just releasing live action adaptations of their most successful properties. Do we need to be original? Do we need to be creative? Do we need to come up with our new ideas? Nope. We'll just take the stuff that people love the most and make a carbon copy that's live action.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I do not want to see The Little Mermaid again, only with a real person. I don't want to see Beauty and the Beast again. I could barely stand it the first time.
What's funny, too, is if you go to Disney World, which I've been to twice, you can see the live-action movie animation films in person because they do these shows all the time with real people.
People fucking love it, though. Those movies will make shitloads of money.
Money, money, money.
Oh, man. How are you not? It's just like they're...
So there probably will be more news to
mostly
come out.
Mostly all I see is Jungle Book and Tarzan.
We're recording this at a time when it's, I don't think a bunch is
I don't think the
yet.
Marvel panel. Damn it, I wanted to be the first to break the Marvel news, but so far, Jon Favreau, Jungle Book.
It's
blah,
okay.
Blah, blah.
We got a nice.
Aren't Warner Brothers doing a Jungle Book at the same time, though? It's so weird.
Are they?
I heard about apparently, and it's a completely different cast. And I looked it upon it ages ago, and I'm not sure if it's happening simultaneously
Oh, yeah, you're right.
or a bit after.
It's called Jungle Book Origins, directed by Andy Serkis. Based on Rudyard Kipling is like given writing credit. Callie Cloves.
Wait, is this real? This cast looks amazing.
Wait, what? This is not, is it?
It can't be
2017.
No, there's no way.
What? It says Benedict Cumberbatch, Christian Bale, Kate Blanchett, Andy Serkis in it also. What is this?
I don't think they can't have a movie casted for 2017 yet. October 2017? I don't know.
It's on IMDb, folks. Take it for what you will.
Yeah.
You know what else? It's on IMDb, it must be real.
You know what else is on IMDb?
Real.
The Fantastic Four sequel, which is not happening.
God, I hope not. I want this to be a quick death for Fantastic Four. I don't want it to be slow death like with Amazing Spider-Man.
How can we save this? Is this salvageable at this point, Fantastic Four?
No, they could get a completely different writer or writers, a completely different director, but the stain of the first movie will carry on. It happened with Amazing Spider-Man. Some parts of Amazing Spider-Man 2 might have been better than the first one, and some parts might have been worse, but the spirit carries on, and it's tainted.
Right.
And the only hope that this franchise has is that no one has nailed it yet. You know, there isn't a good movie, and
three
so,
movies, yeah. three separate yeah. franchises.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'll be better if DC took over it, right, Scott?
Oh, don't you even!
If they just are like, hey, we'll buy Fantastic Four and start making a movie on it, and it won't be a part of anything else. You think that'd work, right, Scott?
Get your grubby paws off my Fantastic Four, DC!
Oh shit!
All right, guys. Well, before we head out here, I wanted to mention David Malofsky. After our show with him that you can find on our website, jockandnerd.com, he said he was going to send me this calendar. It's called the Year of the Mockbuster calendar that he produced off a Kickstarter, I believe. And it's really cool. Basically, it's every month is an illustration from an independent comic, and they use their independent their parodies of superheroes using their independent characters. It's very creative. And there's also, see, I have a sketch of Miss Marvel. I'm not sure who drew it, David. You could let me know who drew it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was in that month, so I don't know if it's the person of that month is. But really cool calendar, and I just wanted to say thank you, David. You've seen the calendar, Scott?
Yeah, I've seen it because we have a lot of independent comics that we review on the site and we're partners with. And so I think that's the best way to do it. And it was really interesting.
Yeah. You know what? For the listener, what is your description of A Place to Hang Your Cape? Which you can find at ap2hyc.com. What's your line? How do you turn someone onto that site?
Do you like comics? Do you like superhero films? Then come on down to aplacetohangyourcape.com. That's the voice I use even in real life. It's nirvana for anything and all everything relating to superheroes and comics, because we do reviews, we do list articles like you might find on BuzzFeed or WatchMojo. We do interviews. We do everything. We do everything.
And
we are number one on the internet.
And you have our podcast on there.
You have us
and
on there.
And of course, the crowning, the cherry on top of your podcast.
which may have stained the credibility of A Place.
Yeah, you guys were credible.
You guys were incredible.
They also have the Geek Chorus, which is another great podcast. Mike San Gregorio, Peter Kendall, the guys at HD1Jump.com. But yeah, I love the site. It's got a lot of unique angles. And Scott's articles are great because now that I read your articles and you hear his voice, like it's so good.
Do you imagine him reading
the
article to
it's you? You get your character in your articles, my friend.
Colloquial.
Yeah, should do a promo. You guys should record. Maybe we'll do this afterwards. We'll have you record a promo for A Place to Hang a Cape, and then we could just play that in the show and make a little commercial.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a very modest person. I couldn't possibly.
We should shout out to another podcast that we kind of have a bromance with.
Oh, that's right.
365 Flicks. That I listen to their podcast.
Episode 16, 365 Flicks Podcast, our friends Kevin and Chris in Northumberland.
And we got our question answered about Godzilla.
We did. And
so
you know
let's
what?
Ask him.
Yeah. So basically we had the big Godzilla geek show, and I threw it back to them. We've been having this like long podcast bromance conversation with them. We've never met these fellas. They went back and forth. We talk about them. They talk about us. It's getting very meta and like convoluted. I love it. So anyways, we asked them, you know, what do the Brits think of Godzilla? He basically said, it wasn't really that big here. Didn't really come over.
Scott, what are your thoughts?
It's about as big as anything else from America, really. I mean, we're aware of it. You ask anyone on the street, hey, do you know who Godzilla is? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for your time. I think people watch the first American film that came out, which was rubbish.
It was sad.
And people watched the second one, the latest one, which was rubbish.
You didn't like that one? Wow.
No, I mean, it was a lot better than the other one.
Yes.
I have a...
Which one was the guy? I get their voices confused on the show, Chris and Kevin. One of them, Imran, you listened to it, right?
Yeah.
Who actually thought Godzilla was going to defend the 98 version of Godzilla? Which one of the guy was that?
I think that was Kevin liked it. Kevin did like it.
Kevin, you're a moron.
Well, damn you, Kevin.
About that, the 2014 movie, I found this article. It was kind of interesting. Basically, you know, we talked about how Bryan Cranston was like totally underused in that movie.
Uh-oh.
It was his movie.
Yes. He's just come out and he agrees with us about his Godzilla character. Check this out. This is Cranston's words. That character dying at that time was a mistake. I knew it when I read it. When I read it, I said, page 50, this character who was the emotional core at the center that was guiding the audience and the story up to that point, he dies? What a waste. They dealt with it poorly. But what's even more interesting is he has an idea of what should have happened. And this is a great idea. He says that character should have been with his son and they would have started to bond a little bit more and they went on this journey together to go back home and be reintroduced to his grandson. Just when they're bonding and it looks like they could have a relationship, the father sacrifices himself to save his son and that's the way he should have died. God damn, how awesome would have that been?
Well, you know what? You know how DC would handle this. So when Godzilla, the second Godzilla film comes out,
yeah,
they would bring back Bryan Cranston's character through some magical potion
and that's be true. Like,
no, we plan to have Bryan Cranston come back in the second film.
That was our plan the whole time.
That was our plan the whole time.
And you can't prove otherwise. You can't prove it.
Yeah, we're not going to just react to the fan backlash. We're going to be like, this was part of the plan.
We're really good at the O. Henry twist, people.
Godzilla's atomic breath actually woke up Bryan Cranston.
It preserved him. It didn't kill him. Yeah. It was like preserved in carbonite. That's right. Yeah. It was carbonite. And then he comes out of carbonite.
Yeah. And we're going to have Bryan Cranston be in the
film. Covering their own asses.
That's how DC would handle it.
So I just thought it was refreshing that Cranston, he thought exactly what we thought.
And I have to bring it back to DC because this whole show was he hates DC.
He hates DC. Did you mention there was a British Godzilla character?
Gorgo, right?
Are you familiar with Gorgo?
I am not, I'm afraid.
You're lying,
British,
Anthony.
You think I know all the British characters in all of fiction?
Oh, look at this. He's not lying.
No, I was
there's
not
a lying. There's something called Gorgo, and he looks just like Godzilla.
Was that like an English dub? Why would they have an English dub if they have the American dub?
It's
1961 British science fiction film, monster film, directed by Eugene Laurie.
When you're done with this podcast, watch Gorgo.
I will look it up.
No, don't watch Gorgo.
Was there only one movie?
It was only one movie. It was like... For at least in my opinion, it was like Britain's answer to
61
to Godzilla.
Wow,
we're going to do our own monster.
Gorgo, yeah. I am the Gorgo. It's a very nice.
It's not as impressive if he's like knocking over Big Ben because that's like the tallest structure.
Yeah, what the fuck is Gorgo smashing? There's no goddamn buildings over there.
I think
he
does knock over Big Ben in that movie.
I will flatten these countrysides. Yeah. Great, thanks, Gorgo.
Oh no, not the hills of Wiltshire.
Oh, man, this show just devolved to just banter.
Scott, thanks for being here, man. You are a great addition to our extended podcast family. Definitely, whenever you want to jump on, let us know. You have something to scream, send an audio comment. We'll put a play right in the show. Scott originally had sent a speak pipe to get in touch with us, and we're like, oh, yes, we have to have him.
We have to have that guy on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, listener, if you have been listening.
You can send us a speak pipe, and we might have you on.
You can literally anybody you want to come on, send us a speak pipe, give us your best bit, and you come on. But Scott, you know, we had David Malofsky vouch for Scotty, and I knew it was going to be great.
David's brilliant.
Any guy that we can have on a podcast that is sitting indoors wearing sunglasses the entire time,
it's badass.
Is okay.
I'm cool.
Yeah. Scott, is this the first podcast you've been on?
It is the first podcast I have been
shit.
On.
Oh, shit.
I feel honored.
Imran, what comes next when you say that?
We're popping podcast cherries since 2015, people.
Well, not only that, but Imran usually goes, you should have your own podcast.
Yes, I do. You should have your own podcast, or just come on this one more, because we could use the help over here. I'll tell you what.
As long as I can spread my message of hate to the world.
Absolutely. He hates DC.
He does. Let's plug real quick. I just want to shout out to podcast.ph as well.
Yeah.
For carrying our show.
You're
going to
be heard in the Philippines.
Yeah, you're going to be big in the Philippines now.
That's the market to break into.
It's true.
That's where money is.
Yeah, yeah. Philippines is the next Silicon Valley. No, I don't know.
No.
Scott, where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you?
Does it mean like geographically speaking?
Digitally.
Digitally speaking, I mean,
Cyber speaking. You're not on Twitter? You're not on the Facebooks? You don't?
I have a Twitter thing, which right. I don't use because great. Twitter scares me.
Right.
Well, you can find his articles for sure on the place.
I have an email.
Yeah, you can find Scott's articles at ap2hyc.com. And you know what? If you have a question for him, just send it to us. We'll have him answer it on the show.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
How about that? Thanks again, dude. I hope you had a fun hanging out with us. We really enjoyed it.
It's been lovely. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. And listener, remember, like I said, we have a SpeakPipe. Click the link in the show notes, or you can go to speakpipe.com/jockandnerd and leave an audio comment or just email us something. show@jockandnerd.com.
Twitter, Facebook, Twitter, Jock and Nerdcast, Facebook. Very easy.
Smoke signals.
Smoke
signals help. You could use telepathy. I will pick
Semaphore.
Up. Semaphore is great. I love flag language.
Scott, and what you're going to do is after this show is over, you're going to go on to iTunes and give us an awesome rating and review.
Oh, yeah. You could do that.
Damn right I am.
Just like everyone else should be doing.
And it's very easy, Scott. You just go to jockandnerd.com/review. It goes right to our iTunes page.
That is what I shall do then, sir.
And then if you can't do that, Scott, at least go outside. Go up to your best kilt-loving wearing friend. And tell them. Just tell them about the show.
Just do one of these.
That's a stereotype.
Wait, people aren't walking around in kilts out there?
All the time, I thought. I would.
A lot of kilt hire shops. I have not seen a single person in a kilt.
You know what? I don't know if I believe you because the feed right now is only waist up on you. So I believe you are either
who knows what he's wearing.
Pants.
Right, look, trousers.
Okay,
I was going to go with either pantsless or kilt.
No, he's wearing trousers, folks. No kilt. The stereotype has been debunked right here on jockandnerd.com. Busting stereotypes since 2015. Blah.
Well, I am mainly English, so.
Yeah.
You are English, so yeah, maybe you wouldn't be wearing a kilt then. You'd be, what, eating fish and chips and...
Oh, you got to blend in, though, when you're out there.
Chips, cup of tea.
Do you have bad teeth?
What sort of a question is that? Of course I have bad teeth. Did you
not serve
Austin Powers?
Right on. I love Scott Naridu.
Yeah, he's great.
Guys, that's it for us. Show notes, jockandnerd.com/32.
What's your name?
My name is Imran.
And my name is Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he is the nerd.
And we'll catch you next time. Were you hungover? I thought you had gone out, and that's why you're running late.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
That's fantastic.
I was supposed to be here at 11:30, and I showed up right at 12.
Johnny come lately.
Yeah.
But it's a running gag on the show, too. If you listen, like, a couple of shows ago, two shows, he has a completely hoarse voice. Completely hoarse because he was out partying, and he lost his voice. It's so funny.
Yeah.
God, you're fitting into the jock thing again. You all parties. Oh, look at me. I'm so popular.
Dude, him and
Imran and I are in the corner reading our comics.
Yeah, exactly. Him.
Good,
oh, my God. Can you imagine Rugboy on with him?
Yeah.
He'd have a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He'd have a crazy show.
We might have to make that happen.
He scares me. I've listened to his voice. He scares me.
I'm going to have to tell that. That's
I'm afraid of what he'll do to me.
Is use this clip on the next Rug Boy show. And just be like, we asked him what he thought of you, and he said, he scares me.